Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. I'm your host, Eric Fisher. This is the podcast where we talk to the people behind the productivity. This time I got to talk to yet another one of those people who is behind my productivity. I've learned a lot from afar, observing them in stalker mode. Just kidding. I get to talk to Chase Reeves of Fizzle. If you've never heard of Fizzle, you're missing out. In fact, go to beyondthetodolist.com/fizzle. They've got a dollar trial where you can get in for an entire month and watch any and all of the videos, interact with everyone. I am probably what would be called a Fizzler lurker. Time has not permitted me to do as much interacting there as I've wanted to. However, the videos are amazing. Just top notch. In fact, Chase does them, and Corbett and Caleb, and they do a great job. So anyway, yeah, you can check that out. In fact, I highly recommend the Productivity 101. I'm not sure if that's what it's called, but it's just go in there, go to beyondthetodolist.com/fizzle. That's F-I-Z-Z-L-E. No, they're not sponsoring this. I just like them, and you can check them out. And you pay $1 for an entire month. And there's a productivity series in there by Chase you should check out. In this episode, Chase and I we get to talk about a lot of different stuff. Community, connections, fear, fame, competition, comparison, career, validation. In other words, doing your own work and stop being worried about doing someone else's, or doing your work the same way someone else is doing theirs. I needed to hear this one. So I hope that you enjoy this. I know that I did. Before we get to that conversation between Chase and I want to let you know, this episode of Beyond the To-Do List is supported by MailChimp. I am one of the 6 million people who use MailChimp to design and send email. MailChimp's got great automation features that make it easy to provide timely and relevant information to your customers and prospects. You can instantly send welcome emails, product recommendations, special offers, and more. You can check them out at beyondthetodolist.com/MailChimp. And when you go there, you can learn how to personalize your emails based on customers' interests, send emails based on the customer's website activity or behavioral targeting. You can do segmentation, personalization, optimization, automation, all in one. Again, you can learn more at beyondthetodolist.com/MailChimp. Thank you again to MailChimp for supporting this episode of Beyond the To-Do List. When you go over to that URL, beyondthetodolist.com/MailChimp, make sure to let them know that Eric Fisher from Beyond the To-Do List sent you. This week, I get to welcome Chase Wardman Reeves. Welcome to the show.
Eric, I couldn't be more pleased as punch than I am right now. I can feel a little bit of a tingling sensation at the back of my throat. And
do you need to lay down?
In a couple other places, too. So I'm excited because those tingling sensations usually lead to good things. Awesome. Or getting slapped in the face.
Well, we're on Skype, so, you know, virtual high five.
Oh, I've been known to slap myself.
Nice. Nice. Do you have two last names? Is that what's going on here with Wardman?
Like, Wardman is my middle name.
I get that, but is it like a family name or something?
Well, clearly it was designed by one of my grandparents to blow the socks off of anyone that comes in touch with it, because it rings, it comes off, and you're like, wow, Wardman, this guy must know something. Chase Wardman Reeves, what an legend.
Yeah, it sounds like a British title or something, you know. Yes. Well, he's the Wardman for the district.
Yes, that's right, gentlemen. I'm sorry I was late. Yes, as you know, Wardman, we always show up a little bit late to these things. What with the, just lost steam there.
Nice.
See that?
Like a Britishman. I don't. That's not.
Just flustered. Yeah, just a bunch of Mike Hurleys everywhere, just not completing thoughts.
Yes, aluminium.
It's true.
This is funny because you and I have not talked other than on Twitter, I don't think.
Did we not meet at NMX?
That's the funny thing is we shook hands, but had I known how awesome you were at the time, we would have had many of the conversations at that time. Like, I remember I was sitting with the mics on mics and talking, and then Schechter says, hey, I'm going to go have a beer with the Fizzle guys. You want to come? And I'm like, yes. So we sit down with you guys, and I sit next to Pat Flynn, And
like you do.
You and Pat, yes. And you and Pat are ordering up buffalo wings. And I'm like, hey, that's that Fizzle guy. You know, we didn't really talk all that much because it was like, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. You know, all that stuff. Like, I am on it. If we hadn't interacted online digitally prior to that, then there really wasn't a great chance we were going to, like, hit it off.
Yeah, well, you know what it's like at those things. It's like, you're one of those pickup artists, right? And you're looking at me, and I'm looking at you, and you know all the tactics, you know. So you did the eye thing, and you came close, and you touched my arm, and all of this stuff. And I was just
creepy.
Enamored by the flashing lights.
I touched the buffalo wings.
I think I did too.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we met at NMX, but very briefly, and we didn't really. I had heard a couple of your episodes because, like, the Don Miller episode is stellar. It was really good.
Okay, so let's tie this around together, like worlds colliding, because I'm getting ready for this Don Miller interview, which I'd wanted to do for a long time.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm looking around for pictures on the internet. I come across a picture of his wedding party. And I'm looking through his wedding party, and I see Bob Goff, and I see Steve Taylor, and I see Cameron Strang, and I see you. Mm. And suddenly I'm like, that's that Fizzle guy I was sitting across from with Pat Flynn eating buffalo wings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how does he know Don? And then I see that, like, you guys were interacting on Twitter at some point. I was like, so I got to ask this question. How did you meet Don?
So for listeners who don't know who Don Miller is, he's a writer, thinker, he's a great guy. He comes from an evangelical worldview and kind of like testing the boundaries there, felt a little bit constrained, but also still like not like, you know, shattering the bath with all the bathwater and the babies inside. Nice. Just a critical thinker and a good poet. So when I moved to Portland, I don't know how it happened. We just got friendly. We just started to meet each other.
You know, my wife's vacuuming again. Cool.
Exactly.
I don't know if you can hear that, but
nobody can hear that.
All right, good.
Nobody can hear that.
The one listener can hear that. Okay.
Yeah, just Terry. Just Terry can hear it.
Hi, Terry.
So that's how I met Don, and we became close. And I like to say to Don, and now he likes to say to other people. Like he knows like everybody. Like he knows everyone.
Yes.
I met Cameron Strang recently. You mentioned him, and I just noticed it was like, I can't tell if he likes you. I think he might be like upset at me or something. Like, this is going really poorly. Like, I don't know him, but it like really concerns me. Like, I'm pretty naturally insecure. So I'm like really concerned. Like, I need to get everybody to like me just across the board. And so the Cameron not liking me, I'm like, well, how am I going to do this? So I talked to Don about it. And eventually Don goes up to Cameron and says, listen, Chase is an acquired taste, but once you acquire it, you get addicted. And that's sort of, my job is to remind Don that, famous, something, something, something. None of that matters. What matters is who has the best fart joke still around the campfire and who's sitting around the campfire. And if there's closeness and familial things there, and you know, that like, just kind of like, that's because we're all enamored by guys who are famous, and we all want to be famous. We all want to be big, you know, regardless of what, we don't know what that means. We just see that it's just something that's built into our culture as a thing to attain. Right. So we're all studying the marketing. We're all studying the Pat Flynn's and the John Lee Dumas's and like trying to figure out, how do I get a monthly revenue report that looks like that? I mean, Entrepreneur on Fire is making like $200,000 a month.
Yeah. Like one month of that. And I'd be like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I'm going to quit. I'm going to make some good investments and I'm just going to let it ride.
And now I'm just going to, hit record on conversations with friends and put it out and call it a podcast. Yeah.
And the irony is that Pat and John are not famous at all in any way capacity compared to Don Miller, right?
Right.
And some of those types. So anyways, long way of answering the question that I met him and we became friends, and it was like, oh God, this is that writer guy. And I tried to figure that out for a while and tried to, like, you know, you walk over eggshells for someone who's famous and then it's like an actual relationship. And you're like, you know what, I'm going to push back when it hurts and he's going to do the same. And we're an actual friendship. It was interesting just how many emotions there were involved in that. You know, when you're in a real relationship with someone who has a lot of exposure, it took a long time for me to wash that inherent greed.
Yeah,
you know, because like, those thoughts just, they pop up in the back of your head because I'm maybe some of us more than others, we're insecure. We want the fame or we want recognition or notoriety or some sort of respect from our peers or whatever we want. Like, it's all just, you know, whatever ends, whatever, wherever dad didn't hug us enough, like nice. it just turns into this gaping vacuum that just sucks in. I can't have enough of any of these things. So I guess I'm turning that question about how I know Dawn into an existential crisis, which is something that you'll notice about me, Eric.
I do.
And it's something my business partner Corbett knows about me very clearly now. And like, because every time we start, we have a podcast that I think you've heard called The Fizzle Show.
Yes.
And every Corbett just realized recently, oh my God, I get it. Like, every podcast episode, you come in with a problem about yourself that then you get like you get Corbett and Caleb to like to make you feel okay about. Like, that's my whole MO on the show.
So each episode's almost an intervention for Chase.
Every day of my life, Eric. You can always send me a text and just say everything's okay, and it'll probably change my life that day.
That's awesome. Well, and that would make sense as to why you just gravitated so much to the second time Merlin was on my show, because
that was such
a rare mood for him.
Oh, you absolutely, you're right. And I told you as much. I was like, you know what? You didn't even nail the interview. You just lucked out in terms of how
I got out of his way is what I did.
You got the right brain chemistry. I'm realizing we're just slaves to our brain chemistry. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you have an idea and it's like, oh my God, that's a great idea. And by the time you go to bed, you realize like, that, what a stupid idea. How could I have thought that was good? Right? We all had that at some point. Slave to our freaking brain chemistry. For me, the best buzz I can get, well, not the best, but one of my favorite buzzes is a cigar, a large weak coffee, and a course in Tahoe or something like that, and like Paul Graham's website. And I'll just start reading stuff and then boom, I'll just keep a notepad nearby, and I am generating so many ideas. For some reason, that chemistry really works. And other chemistries, it's like, I got nothing, right? I have nothing. And you just nailed, Merlin just came in and mm-hmm. he just opened the gates. Somehow it was, and I know, you know, him with his struggles, ADD, and or whatever it is these people struggle with, right? We all have our struggles. It was the perfect body chemistry. And I don't know, it feels a little bit, again, existential crisis-y that we are literally a slave to our body chemistry. You know, whether we feel happy, whether we feel productive, whether we feel like we got into a flow state, whether we feel like we did something good today, or whether we feel like we wasted our time today. It's like, it's so much of it is that brain chemistry. And then it's like, okay, well, if I write down my two things I want to do today in the morning and then actually get those things done, that's affecting our brain chemistry. Because it's all played together with this, the emotions, right?
Uh-huh.
Fear, greed. You know, the sex stuff, like this drive, like as a copywriter and designer, I'm learning more and more that I play on those things, just like a filmmaker plays on, we all play on that level. If we're going to make a sales page that really works well, we have to, we touch some of these things, or we can, every industry can touch some of these things. Same thing with productivity, same thing with like how I orient myself to my day, it feels like. And this is not something I've thought through. You'll notice very few things I think through.
Yeah, but like me, we both do that kind of thing where you don't know what you're thinking until you say it.
Dude, another realization of mine recently that I had to like tell my wife about, like in a very, you know, very tear-filled conversation. Listen, I'm so sorry. I don't think unless I'm talking. I literally don't. So when I'm saying something, it will come out like I'm making an argument, when really I have no idea what I'm saying. I'm just hoping that there's a point at the end of this, and I can't guarantee that it's true or false. But I know that once I get to a point that I realize it's false, I'll move right on from it, because words are wind, Jon Snow.
Nice.
Jeez Louise, you caught me in a pretty.
I did. I'm like, I'm realizing as I said the Merlin thing, and then you start going, I'm like, oh, Chase is in a mood too, which is nice.
I was watching Chris Rock last night and realizing, and then I went to, there's a band called The Hold Steady, which I really like. Saw them last night as well. And it was just interesting to watch the similarities between the two guys. But Chris Rock comes out, and this is the old Bigger Blacker special, and he's angry. He's yelling. And he's always yelling, right? And he's also kind of like going like, how? freaking ridiculous is this? Like, that's the sentiment of everything that he's saying. He's like, how about, you know, whatever. So, you know, how about the way white people treat black people? How ridiculous is this? How about the way men are treated in the family? How ridiculous is this? So you could start with, like, how ridiculous is this? Find something that pisses you off, and you could just tirade about it and with a handful of jokes along the way, and everybody's laughing the whole time. But I realize how compelling anger is, or you know, when you get your blood up like that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like when you're right, we're always talking about, how do we write great content? How do we make something good? How do I say something that gets shared around the internet? Like, be pissed off about something, because that chances are there's a scandal in there and people love scandal. But also, like, people love it when someone stands up for something and comes from a point of view. So anyways.
Well, I mean, it sounds almost like you're talking about a different way to, it's almost like the anti-inspiration. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly,
most people
yeah.
want touchy-feely, happy thoughts of, this thought is going to change the world, and I'm going to write yeah. it down and capture it and sell it in my, you know, ebook on Kindle,
yeah.
And I'll make $1 million. And that's not how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I get pissed off because, like, you know, so what we do, we work a lot with people early on in their entrepreneurial journey, and just try to break some of the myths in their head about, like, this is how you have to think about money, and conversion optimization should work like this. And these are all the principles of digital marketing, and try to get back to, like, no, stupid. It's about humans. It's about humans. Delight somebody, solve somebody's problem, make something that is substantial and useful, make something useful for someone. And if we think about, like, Paul Graham says, the number one reason why most startups fail is because they're not solving a real problem. Plain and simple. They're just not solving a real problem. And I just wrote a post the other day about how one of my friend's companies and then two other companies that I've used extensively, Readmill and Editorially, all closed down. They've all closed down. They've shut the door. And we've seen this a handful of times in the last few months. And these are, like, good teams. Like Editorially has some of my heroes of the internet on that team. And they still had to close the door. They realized, like, this isn't solving someone's problem. And so the anger stuff is getting towards a problem that really exists.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's almost like a barometer of, hey, if it makes you that angry, then there's yeah. somebody else who also will be angry about that too.
Yeah.
And maybe you
and
can
sometimes,
be angry sometimes enough to
maybe,
figure it out.
Maybe it's you're angry, and it's sometimes, like, the universal is in the specific, right? So you could be yeah. angry about the way that your wife talked to you about this, or how you don't get time to do your thing. You always have to X, Y, and Z, right? You can get angry about that, but then that's your specific story, and you can extrapolate out of that, and people will find themselves in it. So, like, another comedian I've been watching, which you this is, hey, listen to me now, Eric and Terry, the listener of the show.
Oh, callback.
There's a guy called Patrice O'Neill who unfortunately passed away. Most of his, like, specials are in complete online at YouTube. You can watch them. And during WDS here, a conference in Portland, I had our whole team from Fizzles here, Corbett, Caleb, and Barrett, are staying in my basement. So every night we come home and we'll watch another 15 minutes of this thing, and we're kind of, like, you know, a little too drunk to stand up all the way, and just kind of, like, we're just needed to take the edge off before we go to bed. So I start playing Patrice O'Neill, and just so amazing the way that he takes that anger and turns it into this tweaks it on these really, really unsafe themes. These extreme, like, super unsafe, like, really questionable, like, gnarly things that, like, I made the mistake of watching some of it with my wife in the room the first time, and it was like, never do that again. Never, ever, never, ever do that again. Because now she just got so upset with some of the things he was saying. But, and I was doing more, I was like, so regardless of if you like him or not, you could look at it as that experiment of, like, oh my God, this is stuff that gets reactions out of people. This yeah. is stuff that is a visceral kind of reaction to. And I know this isn't a show about making stuff that resonates with people, but it is, because that's what
well,
we
it
want
is,
to be productive
because it's
about,
doing work. You know? Yeah. I mean, what's the point of being productive or producing, root word,
yeah.
if it's not good? And I know you always talk about the capital G good stuff. So
yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that's definitely.
So
that's
sorry,
definitely
I'm rat-holing on that, but the idea of starting at a problem, of starting at mm-hmm. You know, we work with so many people who are early on and they're geeking out about online marketing because they want to geek out about online marketing, and I hate that. I hate that. I want them to geek out about curling or about comedy or about ending racism or about coping with stillbirth and loss or dealing with grief or about, you know, screen printing t-shirts. I want you to geek out about something, playing metal guitar solos, right? Then let me teach you how to grow an audience around that thing, okay? And you're pissed off that, you know, Kirk Hammett, why was he in Metallica doing the worst freaking guitar solos in the world? And how did that band get so big when Megadeth had to deal with, you know, so this is, I'm angry about this, right? I could solve that problem. And there's going to be at least 10 bros around the world who are going to be like, yes, this man, like all of them are going to be in like they're going to be.
Yes, let's make South a persona America. Of this.
Totally. But I guess you caught me in a moment where it's just like, you know, we're at WDS and it's all this love and good vibes and everybody's excited about doing something important and meaningful. But at the same time, it's like in the same vein, like it be useful, solve a problem, find something that you're actually passionate about. You know, and I hate, no, not even that. That's the worst. Passion is like, that's where this right. argument gets derailed. Something that you care about, right? And it might be important as in.
A word I know that we both use often enough is resonate.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like a deeper, like a vibe, it vibrates with you.
Yeah,
not totally. In a bad way.
Totally. So not to derail us so early on into that, but it's something that's been, as we'd say back in, you know, like back in the church days, it's something that's been on my heart, Eric. Nice. You know, it's something that's really been on my heart. And if you could just lay hands, brother, and just, you know, when you think about it, if you could bring this up to the Lord, that'd be great, bro.
Yes, unspoken.
And unspoken.
Dude. See, so that's why I had to, okay, so long way around, but we just did one whole, like, circle around the campfire or whatever. Yeah, I had to ask you how you knew Don because I assumed that it had something to do with tying into obviously Portlandia, where you're at as well, where I knew he was at one point and is now Nashville. But just the whole not X but culture of churchdom,
of evangelicalism.
And, yes, exactly. And
yeah, so and I was like, in that. I went to Westmont, a small school in Santa Barbara, and I'm trained as like a pastor. Like that's the only training I have besides just, you know, putting my foot in my mouth every year. Like I'm really well trained at that and face slaps, like we said earlier. So I was like a full on Jesus bro. I was like into it and I wasn't raised it. I got into it in high school, decided to go to this college that a friend, he's like, yeah, there's like no classes where there's more than 25 people. Like you'll like it. I'm like, that sounds great. Are there girls? Perfect. And so I did that and I actually really fell in love with a lot of this stuff that I got to learn there. And I was always doing music too. So that was an easy way in, again, to the girls and to the Jesus thing. So as I was a worship leader for a really long time. I was doing the thing. I mean, we were like part of church plants in Ireland and Canada and all. We were doing the thing. And now fast forward 8 or 9 years, and Jesus and I are sort of seeing other people is my line. Because I'm not ready to, I can't like just like blot it all out. Like I had so many wonderful, great experiences, some very extremely like, you know, moving spiritual experiences and ultimately really, really, really grateful for the community that caused me to do the kind of, you know, soul searching deep work that we did. You know, I would spend hours and hours and hours listening to Sigur Rós or Delirious and journaling at a Starbucks like, dear God, What am I going to be when I grow up? What do you want from me? I think you're moving this way or that way. And, you know, it's all, you're like getting into the prayer movements, the this, that, and the other. And I loved it. I loved it. I really, truly did. And I still kind of do. There's still like a fondness to it. But at one point, it felt very much like, for my wife and I both at the same time, it was just like, oh, okay, there's a next stage. We were doing kind of like, you know, Merlin's line about doing work about work. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that originated with him, but I was associated with him. Work about work. We were doing church about spirituality. We were doing activity about truth.
Mm, yeah.
You know, life about life instead of doing life itself. And to me, like I love getting to talk about this because this is where all the productivity porn came from for me, because it doesn't start out as porn, right? It starts out as love. Like it started out like, oh my God, these are the answers to how do I actually get this stuff done? And I came at it with the same kind of ferociousness.
Feral.
That's what I'm getting at. Like a feral cat. Yes. Ferality. that I did, you know, the hunger for meaning. And I do that with everything, right? I made this about getting to the end of it. And I fell in love with it and loved it. And now I'm in a team where we have to extremely carefully manage our like what we're working on, what our goals are, trying not to burn out and all this other stuff. So it's all coming into play. But yeah, that's fundamentally how I met Dawn. And I have that background. I have that Jesus vibe where, you know, was one of the cool kids in the churches with the multicolored lights behind me singing that like could literally make you cry. Like I could make you cry, or God was there doing the thing.
Yes.
But
if the spirit moved me,
if the spirit.
So right. Yeah. Well,
but he's always there.
Yes.
He's always there.
And see, so that's the thing is like I instantly, once I started to pick up on your story, I realized, oh gosh, this is going to make me either sound really cool or really horrible. But
I'm going to guess cool.
Oh, please. Crossing fingers. As Anne of Green Gables says, which you've never heard as a saying on a podcast.
Nailed it.
Ever,
nailed it. Yeah.
I sensed in you a kindred spirit in that sense.
Oh, boy. And yeah.
So I knew, oh, okay. And see, I'm not an ex-Jesus guy at all. I'm still, he and I are still bros.
Yeah. Yeah. You're broing out.
Yeah.
Broing out with the Lord.
And not in the negative, air quote, Christian sense of, yeah, you know, Fox News and all that other crap. So
yeah.
It's touchy for me. But, you know, anyway, there's another conversation for you and I to have, like, at some point. And the thing is that what it struck me was, is like, yeah, you're dead on. Like, you've moved from doing that to into the pastoring / shepherding role of
totally.
A community, if you will. So
yeah, I mean,
because
to me, the biggest question was all, we're really kind of looking back, was always, you know, who am I and what am I here for? And not that Jesus was an answer to that, just that like all the community around Jesus, the experiences within there were such an amazing developmental step or stage, and it's not done yet, right? But this question of career was like nightmare for me, right? And this question of fulfillment, like, you know, when we used to just like farm and like plant, because that's like the only option that you have, and you live till you're like 35 because your teeth killed you, you know? It's like life is horrible and also like pretty simple, you know? And
yep,
that's like
yep.
in several hundred years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, whatever it was. And now it's so complicated. It doesn't have to be. I mean, we could get super dumb and just make some decisions and just live with it. But I'm always the guy who's going like, wait, if I go through this door, then what does that mean about the other doors? And what am I missing out on over there? And maybe I'm not doing the things right, because what if I don't know enough to make the right decision right now? And then, okay, I should probably wait. Okay, but what about, oh, I really like that thing over there. Maybe I should go that way. Ooh, look at the sparkly thing. Oh, yeah. But I could never do that, right? All of this stuff. And then like always the, but I could never do that as the you know, carrot on the end of a stick somewhere.
Not to mention, what if I'm not good enough? Well, he was good enough. Why? What did he do? How do I do what he did?
What's built into that is the sense that there's a rule, that there's a right and a wrong way to do it, which we all know there isn't. I love that message. I love, like you said, like kind of stewarding, shepherding people into that. People who are exploring that, like I can't help you if you're not exploring that yet. You kind of got that spark, or you don't already, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't, sometimes you don't need it, right? Maybe you're super satisfied. But people in that, it's terrifying. You are so afraid that you're going to make a bad, like I was so scared that I was going to make a bad call that all I ever wanted was someone older and that I looked up to. All I dreamed of was Merlin going like, oh my God, you are so great. You're smart. You're funny. I think your ideas are good. Right? Mm-hmm. That's all we've ever wanted. So we have to learn how to get that validation from inside ourselves. And then if we go long enough into that journey and into the right way of it, like we realize it's not really about the validation. Everybody's doing a great job. Mm-hmm. That it's amazing that anyone is surviving anything, right? I watched a soccer game the other day, and I'm in Portland. We got the Portland Timbers, and we're supposed to root for them. And I've rooted for them for 9 years, even before they were in the MLS, like at the stadium, doing the yelling, screaming the songs, losing the voice, thinking that I was a part of a movement, even though I was more of a part of like an army. Like it was quite violent. And I watched it recently. It might have been my like chemical imbalance or whatever I had going on in my brain at the time. But I like watched both these teams, and I was like, it's amazing that any of these players are on the field. They're so freaking incredible to watch. Even the MLS, right? Not even the World Cup. Even just the MLS. Like I was in that childlike state where it's like, this is so incredible. I can't root for anybody. I can't, like, one isn't better than another. It happened to be one of the only games I've seen the Timbers recently play where they didn't lose the ball in the midfield and they kept completing passes. So it felt amazing. I was like, you guys are incredible. And then the other team was doing great too. And I wish we could look at ourselves that way. I just wish. You mentioned Bob Goff, and Bob Goff is a writer. He's a lawyer. He's a mad scientist. He's crazy. He's pixie dust, and he's silliness and craziness. And you don't believe him. You do not believe him. You don't believe the stories. You know, nobody. You don't believe him. You just don't believe the guy. And I've had enough experiences with him.
He's Gandalf.
He's Gandalf the White.
Yes.
And I've had enough experiences with him where it's like this last time I spent some time with him, and I thought I kind of got it a little bit. I think I kind of, not that I made, but I started to believe in him a little bit. Right? Like, it was just like unbelievable. But one of the things I noticed, we were at this this place far away where you had to take a boat in. It was like a lodge. And there's this one huge boat that you take to get out there. And there's about 100 of us, sort of writers, speakers, lots of musicians, and just random people, artists, people who are like digging deep inside themselves and trying to make something count in the world, right? Everybody that was doing work. We were there, and on the way out, like when we were saying goodbye, like Bob was just like falling apart. He told us as much. He's like, I'm going to be worthless for the next couple of days. And just like weeping. I'm like, yeah, sure. Whatever. That's what you're supposed to say. Right. But I saw something on his face that has kind of changed the way I look at, you know, this concept of me in the middle of my career, in the middle of and what we call fizzlers inside of our community. But the concept of hospitality in a restaurant or in our home. I saw him wanting so badly as we were on the boat sort of pulling away, and he's sort of breaking down. There's like him and seven other people on the dock waving goodbye, and he's sort of trying to hold back the tears or whatever. And he looks pretty painful. Like he's holding it back like really hard, kind of crazy to see. But anyways, in my mind, the fantasy, like this picture evolves in my mind. Like I'm realizing he can see that we've just had an amazing 4 days up here together, away from the shame, away from the worry, away from the competition, away from the fear that we're not good enough, that we're not, that we could be doing a better job, whether it's the fear looking up, like who am I in relation to God or the universe or my sense of meaning here? Who am I looking sideways in relation to my peers, in relation to, and my wife, right? And the ones closest to us, like we start comparing and thinking we could do better and feeling shame that we're not doing more and all this stuff. And I could see on his face, like he just, the sense that like he just wanted to, like, if he could, he would just hug us all until all the worries went away. This is such a perfect metaphor for life, because don't we all wish that we wouldn't worry anymore? Like anxiety is number one on the medical like list right now. Every person in America suffers with anxiety. Every one of them. People are dying from stress. Like, you know, like horrible health complications from stress. What a toxin. I guess I'm kind of seeing it all from this, like, am I okay? Am I doing a good job? Could I be doing better? Those guys are doing this. Shouldn't I do that too? Oh, look, he's got this on his income report. Oh, wait, you know, how am I doing with, you know, the universe? And does this matter? And am I just doing work about work about work about work about life about work about work about life, right? Which part of me is me? What is true of the things that I want to pursue? Which are better? All of these insanely powerful, terrible anxiety, worry questions. I learned so much in that little moment where I pictured him wanting to do that, because I realized that we really were going to go back to the worry, and it would take about an hour, which is about, you know, halfway of the boat trip. It was about a 2.5 hour journey, and it would take about an hour, hour and a half before that would start to creep in, and people would slowly go like, should I turn on my phone now? Should I check out the inbox? Like, who are people telling me that I am? You know?
Yeah.
Like, which is Merlin's line, which is just so powerful. Like, your inbox is where you go for, that's what people think, that's who people think you are. That's what people are requesting from you. And that to me is why your podcast is so great, why the topic of your podcast is so great, why the productivity and the, because it's just a great little, oh, all we want is a tip, trick, hack, nudge, easy button, staples, click the thing, and oh, now I've figured out how to do productive things. Oh, now I've sorted out email. Right? But it's people, stupid.
Yes.
Like it's people, and you're people too. And there isn't that. And this is the gateway drug into that, like, how do I think critically about how I'm doing things so that I can live well? So it really, for me, I look back and I see this productivity stuff smashed in with the Jesus stuff, and it made this really great union of a kind of a spirituality about work. you know, because as a man, you feel so defined by your work, just by nature of our culture. But maybe it's even deeper code than that. Maybe
it's not just gatherer, provider.
Yeah. You know,
leader of the home.
All that stuff. So, you know, if I'm choosing OmniFocus or things like I better go pray about it. You know what I mean? when really it's like, what do I want to do with this? And the older that I get, and I'm not that old yet, but the older that I get and the more that I work with a team and the more that I fall in love with the story and the problem my company exists to solve, the more I realize, okay, there are lives. You have to get to ourselves to a point where we can see there are lives at stake in the thing that we're doing. Like there are stakes. There are stakes. People will quit their blog or their website. They had the wrong expectations. They had dumb expectations, right? Because nobody was showing them how. And they think they're an idiot. They think their dad was right about them for walking out or something like that, right?
Yep. Yeah, you said that, and I was just listening to when you were on Mics on Mics, and you talked about when you were doing Think Traffic and the guy that, like, you tried to look him up and he was gone.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
That floored me. I was like, man, like, it almost made me this is going to be overdramatic, but it made me think of Schindler's List. It's like, I could have gotten one more out.
Totally. Yeah. I am a little bit like that. You know, in my work, I do consider myself someone who's saving people from the gas.
You're tubes. Liam Neeson.
I am always and everywhere wanting to be Liam Neeson. And instead, I'm like the clown
like good cop, bad cop Liam Neeson from Lego Movie.
Exactly.
There you go.
That's
your bipolar.
You pretty much nailed it. Yep. You pretty much nailed it. So sorry, I've like derailed this into – I knew I would love talking to you. I was excited. Like we've had rescheduled this like three times because no. This is – I wanted to be in the right moment. So here's my question to you, Eric.
Go.
Are you ready?
Flip it.
In an ideal world, how would you start your day?
Oh, man. I would hit snooze, and I'm going to say all the bad answers that nobody expects.
Yeah. I love that.
It's about 10 a.m., and I hit snooze, get up about 12, and have a nice late lunch with brunch, sorry. And then I browse what blog topic I want to write about today. Ooh. Then I sit down and I'm inspired and I create. And then it's done after the first draft. So I post it immediately and it
clearly
goes viral.
Oh,
the end.
Isn't that the best?
Oh my gosh. That was all off the top of my head. That was actually pretty good.
That was a good day.
Yeah.
By the way, I pulled up Vine for the first time in several months today because I was like, oh my God, I used to do little Vines all the time. And then I just stopped. It was like, what are people doing on Vine these days? Like how are people doing this? And I looked and it was kind of funny. There's like a bunch of funny stuff and a bunch of dumb stuff. But for you, I've been thinking about like, how could we make like for Fizzle, like funny stuff? Like that would live in a video form like Vine or the Instagram video or just YouTube. But like I always think in terms of like, what's the commercial? Like I love to do a commercial for depression where the solution is entrepreneurialism, where it's like, are you feeling listless? Do you get home from work and have no energy? And yada, yada, yada. You could try entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship saved me and my wife. Something, you know, just like some stupid, dumb, fake Cialis ad where the husband and wife are in bathtubs side by side at the freaking lake or something. But I was thinking like how awesome would it be to do a funny little Vine of like everybody's ideal day. Like you snooze, breakfast in bed. And then like women come around from everywhere and like say, here's a good blog post idea. Yada, yada, yada. Oh, you're brilliant. You know, whatever. And then all this stuff. Cause the truth is we all fantasize about like this. The reason why I ask you that, obviously, cause you ask it all the time and it's such a good question. And I love the way you answered it too. Like what are the fantasies we all wish we could say and we don't? We never do. Because we all dream of being these productive people when really we're going to expire way before we thought. And then we're going to be like, what did I do? Every one of us, you know?
What will it have meant?
Exactly. Sorry. I don't want to derail the conversation. You'll hear me say that a lot and not change my behavior.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. Keep going.
Was that all you wanted from that?
That's all. I just want you to know that I'm here and that I care.
And you would hug and make it all go away. So let's see. There's a couple other things we can go at. That's the cool thing about back to work is like right now we'd say, tell me about something you like, and then there's a segue. But I don't
know. The cool thing about Back to Work is like we'd tune in right now and the comics conversation is just starting to end, and then we'd get some fascinating tips Although and tricks about elevators.
I like the comic talk, so.
You would.
Yeah, sorry. You would. I do.
Yeah, but I'm just such a fan of Merlin. Like, I'll always listen.
Oh, yeah.
I just find myself speeding it up more and more and more.
That's horrible. Are you trying out Overcast?
Everything's different, but nothing's really different. Like, that's what was so interesting to me. There are obviously like a couple cute features. I just love Marco. Like, I just think he has all the answers. For some reason, we all do. Because he's bright. He really is a hell of a thinker. He's very, very bright. And so I'll just go where he goes until it's like, well, actually, I prefer it this way rather than this way.
He actually shared a thing about, what's the other one? Not Overcast, but...
There's Pocket Cast, which was the one I was using. Many. Downcast, Instacast, Stitcher, TuneIn.
It's something cast, and it's...
There's Wrangler, Pod Wrangler.
I'm going to have to open it up.
Crap. Eric, you didn't do your damn
Castro. Hole. There it is. I knew it was communist.
Castro? I didn't even hear about I've never heard of that one.
Anyway, so what it was that basically Overcast's Twitter feed linked to Castro's blog post that said, hey, welcome to the family, Overcast. Actually, this ties in. As a third-party client for listening to podcasts, we welcome you to the family because – any new third-party client that comes out that teaches people to try out third-party podcasting apps and gets more people to listen to podcasts is good for all of us, you know? And, and all boats rise. Welcome to the community. This is a family. It's not a zero-sum game, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we were talking about.
Marco's words at XOXO a few years ago, which if you haven't seen that one, that's a must-watch.
Yeah, so...
For me, I mean, yes, must-watch. Just because it's like, hey, here's one of the brighter minds of our ilk in the tech world who's saying like, I'm going all in on podcasts, which just felt so good. I was in the audience sitting next to Mike Hurley and he was giddy because a screenshot of his command space is on the slides behind Marco. And Marco's saying the things that he's saying about like, I'm going all in on podcasting. I think there's plenty of room in the market. And I think yada, 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 and et cetera, et cetera. And we were just all just so giddy. It was so great. I still just remember XO very fondly.
But so the point I'm making is kind of tying it into, you know, there's not this competition, there's community, you know, if you're, I guess there is competition.
No,
secretly.
There's
I mean,
again,
the anxiety, it's that anxiety. Like it makes us think, if I'm not good enough and he is, then how do I have him rub off on me? And totally. How close do I have to get that proximity? Like, it's the joke that you guys made. You and Mike made. It's like, well, we were having you on our show so that we'd get famous. Oh, I was just coming on your show so that I'd get famous.
Totally. Like, totally. And I've talked to him since, and none of us have gotten famous. No.
Well, it'll happen this time. You'll get the Colbert bump.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So, yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing is, like, just this whole resonating of community. And, like, you probably heard of John Acuff.
Yeah.
In the circles and whatever, but the whole idea that fear fears community. And that's one of the, I mean, you can't wholeheartedly cure it by being in the company of like-minded people, but it sure helps.
Yeah, it's absolutely. You know, I had an older lady who was a mentor to me basically when I was in Santa Barbara. She was this older Pentecostal lady but the good kind, I guess, is all I can say. And she used to always say in a little Southern accent, oh, CW, you're going to be just fine. You are going to be just fine. God's going to take care of you, right? Something like just nonstop. That's the all day, every day. You know, I'd be heartbroken about some girl who isn't returning my advances and yada, thinking and desperately trying to figure out the future of my life and et cetera, et cetera. And oh my God, what am I called to? You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. It's just pounded into me, and I don't know if there's any better. Some summary of what the gospel really is than that. And if there's a more powerful message, I mean, I've started flirting about like, so Jesus and I aren't seeing other people, but I'm kind of sleeping around with like Buddha, but mostly just Alan Watts, who isn't the Buddha, but seems to have some sort of experience with both Jesus and the Buddha. And Alan Watts is a guy that it's just brilliant to me. And obviously one of these guys, if you don't know, he ended his life like horribly, horribly, right? So guys that I think that fly too close to the ether, like the Icarus thing where the wings
right.
melt and the whole bottom comes out, right? This has happened throughout history. There's a lot of different guys. So it's a little bit scary to be a kind of searcher like I am, even though I'm just a layman. That's still just something that's a little scary to me. And something that maybe goes against that is a sense of like, you're okay. Like, no matter what, like the earth is spinning insanely around the sun, and we're one solar system of a million in this galaxy, which is one galaxy in billions of galaxies, and yada, yada, yada. And you're okay. You know, you could just, hey, take a deep breath. Like, are you hungry? Eat some food. Are you needy? What do you need? You don't need much. I was thinking like I always looked at Jesus and Gandhi and these guys and be like, wow, what discipline, right? Just thinking specifically of Gandhi, right? The hunger strike and this kind of stuff. Like, what discipline? Oh my goodness. How could anybody do that? It's such discipline. What my hunch is now is like, no, it's not necessarily all that discipline. It's the doing the work to be satisfied with very little. Because that's the truth. We get anxious and terrified about not having what we need, when the truth is we have well beyond what we need. And this sense of like, if I could get satisfied with what I have and with much less than what I have, you know, which now I'm sounding like one of those pop guru, yeah, whatever. But the whole thing's in there. The whole thing's in there. Your whole career search, your whole search for connection and happiness, your whole search for doing valuable work in the world. Jesus nailed it. Sell all your possessions and follow me. Like, he nails it. You want to be productive? Have nothing to do. Walk around, and if someone needs a hand, give them a hand. Like, what? What? But then there's like homelessness and crazy people. Duh, I don't know. I can't explain it all. I know I suffer from anxiety. My wife suffers from anxiety. The whole modern world suffers with anxiety because we're thinking and planning and preparing for the future, trying to get there because we're not okay unless we do. And all the while, we're never ending up being okay. And so if we could just go, oh my God, I'm okay. So you write down on the, that's why, like whenever, you know, the big tip, right? That everyone says, have two big things that you do today and do those first. The rest is gravy. Right?
Yep.
That's a little bit of way of saying, like when you see a to-do list and you scratch everything out and just have two things there, it's a little bit like, wait, shouldn't I be doing more? Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And like we just did a recent two-series episode on the podcast about work-life balance. And one of the things that Corbett said that blew my mind is the idea of, well, I guess he calls them alternative constraints. Like, hey, on Thursday, I'm stopping work at 12 and I'm going to go watch two movies. Whoa. Okay. That means at 12, I'm stopping working. That means my whole week, I know what's coming. So I only have essentially a few hours on that day to get some work done. So what do I need done by then? So all of a sudden we're kicked into high gear to do the things because now we have a way out. Or if you say this week, I'm stopping work at 12 every day this week, you will have one of the more productive work weeks yep. of your life. You know, it's weird that state that we get into when we have all day, that we're not beginning with the end in mind, so to speak, you know?
Yeah.
Like I've got a standing desk now and I can only stand, like we've always done that. We all dreamt of doing the standing desk. Like, what's her? It's fine. Yeah. We're killing ourselves sitting on our backs. Yada, yada, yada. We all got to get standing desks. So I got one and I'm doing it. And I realize I've about week two, like I am so fatigued by like 3:30. Like I'm barely thinking, like, this can't work because I just lost the last 2 hours of my day. And then the question arises, like, well, wait, maybe I'm not supposed to work those last 2 hours a day. Maybe work is over, right? Why do we work these hours? Because some school and company and corporation teamed up to do whatever. I don't know. We just do. So there's no rules. My friend Ryan Carson, they don't work. Their whole company of 199 people or something doesn't work on Friday. Nobody in the company works on Friday. Huge company, Treehouse, massive company, very sexy, doing big work. Nobody works on Friday. That means you have 4 days to sprint some workout, and wow, that's actually a healthy little rhythm right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And then you come back on Monday more recharged and more willing and more ready and more able because you had a three-day weekend.
That's the story. All I know is that when I love movies and I never get to watch the old movies, like the 100 greatest movies of all time that I'd love to go through. My wife, when it's a Tuesday night and we got some time to watch something, she's like, no, I'm not watching a Russian silent film with subtitles from the 30s. I'm sorry, that is out. right? No, I'm not going to watch Citizen Kane with, no, I'm not going to do that. So I've started doing it where like every Tuesday I'll watch a movie. And it's not like doing email while I watch a movie. Like I want to watch it. It's really great because that means Tuesdays get really productive because you have an out. Just this idea that productivity is this perfectly practical entrance into what matters, right? The question of what matters, which is ultimately, you know, starts with what matters today, what matters this week and this month and this sprint. And ultimately, like, who the frick am I? And what matters about me? And like, am I going to wake up at 65 and go like, what was the point of all this? I should have hung out with my friends more. You know,
I should have watched more movies.
I should have watched more damn movies. Yeah, that's the irony. There.
There's the tip of the episode.
There's the tip.
Watch more movies.
I don't know. What are you hearing over there? I'm just spouting.
No, I agree. You want to know a secret? Since I started working from home, I've watched the entire 9 seasons of Seinfeld.
Oh, I'd love to go back and do those. Because
the library had the DVDs. So
as an adult to be able to watch some of those, it would be mean a whole new experience.
It totally was. And it was funny because it really, in a weird way, it revitalized my comedy brain in a sense and writing brain.
Yeah.
To see some of these plot threads that were doing that. So
have you heard his interview with Alec Baldwin on Here's the Thing?
Yeah.
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 That's I have a list of like things to listen to yearly and that's on there. It is sensational.
That and the whole comedians in cars getting coffee is just
wonderful stuff.
Oh, such an amazing thing. And actually I saw him, Seinfeld was on Daily Show just the other night. So that was really
cool. Nice.
Yeah. I should check that out. Cause Jon Stewart was on comedians in cars getting coffee. So,
oh, that's right. You see, I haven't caught up on any of the newer ones. I still haven't seen Louis. And I remember wanting to see that one.
That's such a good one.
I loved Brian Regan. Like I listened to Brian Regan for forever. Just one album. I don't even know if he has more. I just in college, like got a copy of it and I've just played it out. And so anytime I get to hear Brian Regan talk, like I am already laughing just because his cadence, the way he talks, it's perfect. So I wrote a post yesterday and I tried something new, a little bit of like how do I be more productive with how I write something?
Cool.
This might be valuable.
Let's do it.
For your people, for Terry, and for you, and for me. I'm trying to think it through, so maybe you can help me a little bit.
Okay.
So basically, I had something that I wanted to write for a long time. I saw all these companies shutting down, like companies that I admired, you know, like literally just little products, not massive things, right? But like, it's a hell of a thing to be a guy who helps people get started, and then at the same time watching people you admire finish things, like saying like this doesn't have enough legs. And we know it, so we're going to stop now. It just kind of like helps you think through what the options are that could come out of. So I was thinking through that, and I was like, oh, I'll do a post on that at some point. And then I had a conversation with a friend where he mentioned, you've heard of this Jim Carrey commencement speech thing?
Yes, yep.
Which I still haven't watched the whole thing, but he told me some quote in there. And so I went and found the quote, and it was perfect. So what I did is what we have on our site, fizzle.co, on our blog, we have these things that we call quotables, right? So we'll call out a bit of text and it adds a little like, you know, Facebook or tweet this sort of quote thing, right? And it's just a little short code I made and some styling to do that. So what I did is I started with the quote at the end because it's kind of like, you know, like Seth Godin, like 5 years ago, I had to unsubscribe from Seth Godin's blog because I can't have my life changed every morning. I just can't do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because literally every email I got from him was like, oh, this changes everything. You know? Like I had to go away to the mountain and journal about it for a while. But what he gets is this idea of like it has to be succinct, like short and strong. It like an idea normally turns within one sentence. We always thought this, but now we can think this. Instead of doing this, go to do that. Like there's some da da da. So in it or something like that. Actionable, take this, do something with it idea. And it's always really, really, since, you know, you're like me, maybe it's the same for you. I'm so verbal that I just fall in love with trying to solve a problem. I don't fall, I can't, like once there's a solution, I get bored. You know, like I just want to talk about it, you know, and explore it. So it's really hard for me to formulate things into that compact thing. So this time I started with that shareable, tweetable sentence. Because like if I can't make that idea good and if I can't make that solid, then I can't make this. Then this is just going to be another post. It's just going to be another blog post, which is fine. I'm used to writing just another blog post. Like that's all I really write. But this time I was like, I want to try to actually make it really shareable. and make the whole post literally just build to one crescendo on a thing. And so I did that. I started with the quotable, the tweetable bit. I made the headline out of that. And then I outlined, I made a simple outline out of that, and then wrote the thing. First, what I did is I because I'm so verbal, I made an audio note in Evernote or whatever, recorded an audio note as I was like walking home from the gym, just like, okay, so I'm thinking about doing this thing. All these companies are starting to close down, yada, 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 something. And then I'll listen through that and try to develop the tweetable from there. But I did it just the one time. So this is no way like a guaranteed repeatable thing, but it's one of our more shared posts in recent time by a long shot, which is pretty great.
That's awesome. Dude, what's cool is we went nowhere I was going to go with you.
I got a whole other hour scheduled for you right here. Oh. We could keep going if you wanted.
Yeah, see, but no. I got to go take care of the kids.
That'd be uncool.
Life calls.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, you really did catch me at like a sort of like a steamroll mode.
No, that's great. You know, hey, this is the bonus episode. This is the kickoff episode. You'll come back.
You know what? With Adam Clark, I did the same thing where we recorded our first thing, and he's like, "This is basically unusable, but I really, really like it." That's great. And so he did that as like a second episode after we recorded again.
See, and I tell you right now, Casey Proctor, as you're listening. See, oh, there's two listeners. He will listen to this. He will tweet at both of us and say, "One of your best episodes ever." He really will,
because Casey's a stud.
Yeah,
and he's also in this he's in this conversation as well. I mean, listen, everybody. On the closing note, we're literally all trying to get so big. We are all just addicted to. Okay, well, we got to grow, right? We have to grow. We got to try to get more exposure. I got to meet more people and have more opportunities and more network and more marketing and more yada, yada, yada. We got to grow. But what if we tried to be more ourselves instead of trying to be bigger? And that's a really cliche. What a cliche way of putting it.
What if instead of growing larger, we growed more mature?
Oh, I was hoping you'd go, what if we went, instead of going out, we went in? what if instead of going wider, we went deeper?
Anyway.
No, keep going. What if instead of being a whole tree, we were just a leaf? Be more yourself, Eric Fisher.
Likewise, Chase Wardman Reeves. I think this is one of those episodes where you're probably going to have to go, or let's face it, you want to go back and listen to this one again. Bookmark it. Share it with everyone. You can do your own work, and it'll be just fine. You'll be okay. Thanks again to Chase Reeves for coming on the show. This will not be the last time that Chase is on the show. I can't highly recommend enough the Fizzle community that he started and is a part of. And so the best way, since you're listening to a productivity podcast, that I can suggest to go find out if that's what is going to help you, go to beyondthetodolist.com/Fizzle. Search for productivity or Chase Reeves Productivity 101. Anyway, you'll find the video series and you'll get a picture for what their whole purpose and how they do it is. And again, if it's not for you, at least there's a ton of other videos in there. You can go watch different courses on how to learn all sorts of stuff that people working on the web need to know. So I also want to say thanks again to MailChimp for supporting this episode of Beyond the To-Do List. Make sure to go check out MailChimp. Give them a big hug and a thank you from me, Eric Fisher, here at Beyond the To-Do List. By going to beyondthetodolist.com/MailChimp, let them know I sent you, say thank you, sign up, try it out. It's awesome. I use it. Make sure to go check out the show notes and follow along. They're chock full of links this time. beyondthetodolist.com/79. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next episode. Beyond the To-Do List is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast.
theorize over the TV shows Once Upon a Time, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, and Under the Dome. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.